Oh. Well, this whole Petraeus thing, you know, the question is, do you want a good biography or don't you? Well, what do you know?
Live from Little Rock, Arkansas to Ashland, Oregon, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, author Patrick Somerville, all the news that isn't, and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's on a schmiskel cliff, it's Michael Feldman.
Schmiskel cliff. Oh, go on with you. A schmiskel cliff. Was that a Norwegian kind of thing to say?
Maybe more east of there.
East of there, okay. All right. So, this biography thing. You know, All In was unfortunate as a title. But still, you know, biography is a biography. And this whole thing, you know, just because Eisenhower did it is no excuse. I mean, look at Mamie. I don't excuse it, but I think they could throw the grunts a bone once in a while, too, you know. So anyhow, General Petraeus did testify. He said that he knew a nice little bed and breakfast in Benghazi. Yeah, it should be between General Petraeus and Mrs. General Petraeus, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. And the Taliban got nothing on Holly, believe me. In other news, Pat Robertson cites scriptures in the Petraeus affair saying, "And the Lord saith, a guy's a guy." If there are fishers of men, well, there must be fishers of women as well, I guess. Romney getting closer to conceding Florida. Mr. Romney has doubled down on his gift-giving charge against Obama. He says he gave swag to blacks, tchotchkes to the Jews, energy drinks to young people, lederhosen to the Germans, Spam to Hawaiians, and Copenhagen to NASCAR voters. Pretty good ground game, I would say. Yeah. Repeating his call to tax, if not eat the rich, President Obama says the rich should either get smaller camels or bigger needles. Let's see now. A rogue planet with no star to orbit was discovered named Romneus. I thought that deserved better. I'm going to put deserved better in the margin. Deserved better response. I'll try it again maybe next week. Something's rattling here. Is that me or is that something? Huh? I don't know what that is. So far it's the highlight of the show, though. Okay. Anyone see what that is? Huh?
I have
you?
No idea. It's definitely not me.
Not you. Something is red. Driving me a little crazy. That's good. Oh, hi, John. Nice of you to come over. What do you think it is? I think it's is it a tremor? Is there a tremor? Should we run for the doorways?
What? It's the Wisconsin fault line.
Morse code. Look, I can do Morse code. What do you think it is? Any opinion? What? Look at when I do this, it does that. Isn't this exciting? Live radio at its worst. What? Let's forget about it. I just won't do that. Don't do this. That's what the doctor said. Okay. Where was I? Eat the rich, rogue planet around. Okay. In other news, I wish I had a nickel for every time my wife drove over me. No, that's not right either. Cholesterol linked to dementia, which explains why cows just stand around and stare and chew when there's not even anything in there. You know, see, they're chewing all the time. You know, half the time they don't have cud. The new Republicans come around on immigration will let Mexicans entering the U.S. play through to Canada. Speaking of which, if all 50 states secede, the vacuum will suck Canada into Mexico. A new phrase enters the language. I feel like Jill Kelly without a base pass. Okay, hasn't quite entered here, but it's coming. Daniel Day-Lewis assassinates Lincoln again. United's Commodore 64 goes down again, although the Pong still works. In case you're wondering where your flight is. At JFK, $1.5 million in iPad minis stolen in a case just this big. Microsoft insiders say Ballmer ate Sanofsky. The insiders, that's why you don't get it. Hence, Windows 8. That's why they call it Windows 8. It was actually ATE. The GOP boss in Maine now says it was moose and not black voters coming out of the woods. In a dramatic, if incoherent, farewell speech, Ron Paul says the time has come to talk of many things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax, of cabbages and kings. Obama and Boehner, a picnic on the fiscal cliff, lots of tears in the beers. There are calls to bail out Hostess because it's too Twinkie to fail. Breaking Dawn Part 2 leaves Breaking Wind Part 2 far behind. The first video game for dogs, The Call of Doo-Doo, has been released. Research shows that man had spears 500,000 years ago, but didn't hit anything for the first 100,000. The new Cracker Jacked has caffeine in it, and little cigarettes as a prize. Oh, well. The start of gun season in Wisconsin, deer hunters are encouraged to report any marijuana fields they find to the other guys in deer camp. But gentlemen, remember, when you're high, every deer is Bambi. And deer widows this season are initiating a new program, their own Earn a Buck. That's right, that's all the news that isn't. Thank you, and good night. To all the ships at sea, and to whatever the arts is. I'm fine. I'm good.
It's mysterious.
The best minds of my generation could not find out what caused that sound.
Not in about 2 minutes, no.
But no, yeah, no.
Something's definitely going on over there.
I don't know what it is. They're talking it over there. Patrick Somerville has a new book out, This Bright River. It's called A Novel. I like they put that on there, just in case you're wondering what you bought here. It could be a cookbook. You never know. No, it's a novel. This Bright River. He's with us, as a matter of fact. Join us right here in our studio. Patrick Somerville, author of The Cradle, with This Bright River, A Novel. You don't need those unless you need them.
No.
You can have them if you want.
That was a little...
Headphones?
Little Leonard Cohen right there.
Okay.
That was nice.
What?
Yeah. I liked it. Thank you.
What?
We're communicating with each other.
Oh, you are. Don't do it at my expense, please.
Get it. Yeah.
A novel. Did you know it was a novel?
Yeah, I did. And once I saw the cover, I knew.
Yeah. Do they do this with all novels, put a novel on there?
They do it often, I
think. Was there some doubt about This Bright River being a novel?
There was no doubt that it was a novel. As far as I knew when I was handing it in. Yeah. Maybe they wondered after they got it, and then they had to reassure themselves.
So are we talking the Fox? And you're from Green Bay, right? So
I am.
Which river are we talking about?
It's made up. It's called the Bright River. It's in the UP in the book, in the story.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But I mean, we're trying to figure out, now these guys are actually from a place called, what's it called?
St. Helens, Wisconsin.
St. Helens.
Another made-up town. Yeah.
And you gave sort of, you said where it was, so I got a map.
Oh, no.
And we're trying to narrow it down here.
No one's ever put this much pressure on my
It's very
my
important
city.
Here. So we're looking, it's near Kettle Moraine.
Yeah.
And near Milwaukee, and
yeah.
It's 30 miles from there, and we go towards Watertown.
Uh-huh.
It's not Oconomowoc, I'm pretty sure. It's not Delafield, because that's too close to Milwaukee.
Right.
But there is a Helenville.
It's around there.
Did you know that? St. Helens, Helenville?
It may have had something to do with
Helenville?
The naming. Well,
I see a reaction to Helenville. Have you been to Helenville? Did you grow up near
no,
there?
No, I haven't been there. Never seen it. Never, I've seen it on a map, though. But, so it's also a little joke. And my mother is from England, and she was born in a town called St. Helens, too. And so anyway. I wanted to make up a town for the story, and it's also in my other book, The Cradle, but I wanted to kind of make it an imagined town just so I could move the Dunkin' Donuts around or whatever. Yeah. No Dunkin' Donuts in Wisconsin, but, you know.
Because I actually did a study of Helenville, and none of the places you mentioned in the book in St. Helens are there.
That's right.
Remotely. There's just a post office, and there's a Stop and Shop kind of thing.
Well, you verified what I could have told you here.
Now, the New York Times, you got a great review from Janet Maslin. Well, not a great review, but you got a review, and that's the important thing, right? It's more important to have a review than to have even a, you know, necessarily a good one.
Yeah, it was fine. It was a little bit strange, though, too, in that some of the information contained in the review didn't seem quite accurate relative to
totally
the book.
Inaccurate.
Yeah. Totally inaccurate, yeah.
Because the book begins with this scene, which is kind of strange, in Madison. Madison's a big player in this book, so that's kind of cool. I like that. And you mentioned Wisconsin Public Radio, which is...
I did.
You know, they're very grateful for that. Any mention whatsoever. And that's why you're on, as a matter of fact. Totally payback.
I knew that back then. Yeah. That's why I put that in there.
But a guy gets beaten up pretty bad after being in the bar with this guy, and the guy gets out and hits him on the head, and we don't know what happens to him.
Yeah.
And Nix.
They're at
Nix,
yeah. Yeah.
With the steam tables, Nix, that one?
Yeah.
Wow.
You guys know Nix? People go there?
Yeah. All these local places are in the book. It's kind of, so you think, well, maybe this is actually happening then, you know? And then, but the reviewer got the wrong guy who was hit on the head.
Yeah, that's where the confusion started, which is a problem because it's the beginning of the book.
Yeah. So does that invalidate a bad review then?
Well, in my mind, I guess, but it doesn't, you know, in the end it's fine just because it's good, like you said, it's good to get the review. But it was it's a little bit hard to take a lot of the conclusions seriously with that. Yeah.
But
that
she reviewed the first one. She loved it.
She gave a great review to The Cradle, my first novel.
Yeah. And she actually sort of liked this one, too.
Kind of, yeah. Seemed like she was holding back, like she was trying to be nice.
Yeah, but she said the guy might have been hit on the head. That's why this book, I think she was referring to you, actually.
Yeah, the author seemed in the subtext, yeah.
The author might have been hit on the head and tended to ramble.
Which I do.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it is 400 pages.
Yeah, it's a little long. It's a little much.
You know, I said it to David Foster Wallace, and I'll say it to you. No book has to be that long. You know?
What did he say? What did he say to that?
He was pretty funny about it. I forget what he said. And I said, what's with all the footnotes? I said, do you throw anything away? He said, technically they're endnotes because they're at the end.
Well, that's funny.
Yeah. But, I don't know. There's a reason for things being the length they are.
Yeah, and The Cradle is a pretty short novel, my first novel, and I wanted to just tell a story that was a little bit slower, a little bit longer, and get to know the people a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And so it's 400 pages.
Whose phone is that?
It's probably my dad's.
Why do you have a phone that sounds like a phone? That is so weird. Imagine having a phone that sounds, your ringtone sounds like a phone. Very upsetting notion. It's good, though. I like it, though. And this guy, Ben, is an interesting character.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. Does he have something in common with you? Maybe a little bit.
So his story is the story of a guy who grows up in Wisconsin, goes away to the West Coast throughout most of his 20s, and does not really do very well at life for that 10 years. And he comes back in his early 30s and kind of gets his life in order, living back in the town where he grew up. Mm-hmm. And so I share some qualities with him. I did not move to Portland and become a heroin addict like he did, but...
Who has the time?
Yeah, really. But at the same time, I think his sort of like a lot of people who are just sort of trying to find their way in their, especially in their early 20s. I think I wandered a bit like he did too. Yeah.
And there's a lot of Wisconsin-ness to him and to the book.
Oh, you think so?
Well, yeah, I think so. People who are in Wisconsin would appreciate the Wisconsin-ness to it. Even the fact that if he leaves the state, everything goes to hell.
Yeah, You
have to come back to Wisconsin. You only do good in Wisconsin if you're from Wisconsin. You know, you're outside, horrible things can happen. You come back.
Yeah, and then that happens in the UP, too. He goes to the UP and terrible things happen.
UP? He's got to get back to Wisconsin. I know we have some Upers here, so I don't want to say anything bad about
it. Are there Upers here?
Yeah, we have two Upers right there.
Not that terrible. It's also beautiful up there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's just necessary for the purposes of the book.
Yeah.
And this is sort of like Wisconsin Death Trip meets... Catcher in the Rye or something like that.
That's good. Can I have that blurb?
Yeah, yeah.
In paperback?
It is, because he's sort of a protector of people, of youth, and trying to find out what's going on. But there's also this Wisconsin stuff going on. You know, the mass murders, the the usual thing.
Yeah, you know, typical Wisconsin stuff.
You know, I mean, there's a history of it anyhow, and that sort of plays in. There's a lot of the murder and stuff in this book.
There's a little bit. I'm a sucker for a crime drama always, and so there's a little bit of that in here. And there's a mystery in it too. But I think the violence that's floating around in the book is also kind of about. It's part of the story of both the characters, the lead female character, Lauren too. Yeah. It's sort of about history kind of always coming back to find you, no matter how quickly you run or where you go, it'll catch up with you eventually.
Right. And but there's even good murder and bad murder.
You know. No, they're all bad.
At one time, Ben says to Lauren, he said, about the guy he just killed. He said, was it as bad as this other murder that his cousin did?
Yeah, right. He's trying to figure out kind of what the distinctions are, those hazy distinctions between kinds of violence.
And she said, no, this was a good murder. So
that's kind of what she said.
Yeah, sorry, more or less. So I thought that was good. There's good murder and bad. It was certainly called for in the case of this guy who was her ex-husband, I guess. One of the things I hate to do is, do you mind if some things are given away in discussing the book?
You've just given away the entire plot.
Yeah,
of the book,
I know.
So. I don't mind at all.
I had a horrible incident with one of America's leading authors.
Former friend.
Well, we were never friends or anything like that. And just because I gave away a thing, and I didn't intend to do it, it was just that the book culminated in something that occurred in Minnesota. And I said, boy, if you only could have. This guy could have been discovered in Wisconsin instead. And then everyone went, oh, no, he said he was.
Who was this? Can we get some names?
Oh, no, I don't want to go back to that again. I hate mail. Never got hate mail like from, you know.
He's listening now. Do you want to apologize?
No, it's not a he. So, yeah, I did. I really was not intentional. But so it's hard to discuss a book, and then I guess I ruined it already, though.
You did.
Yeah.
No need to read the book anymore, actually.
Yeah, yeah. There's this whole puzzle thing. This Ben is like a puzzle solver,
mm-hmm.
and a game, not exactly a gamer.
Yeah, he's sort of with that character. I was thinking of. I feel like everybody knows someone like this or has someone like this in their family. The person you know who's just really, really good at every game that you ever play with them, every board game, every puzzle, every kind of. They just have a mind for that kind of thing. And he's that way too. And in his wanderings, he falls in with a guy, and they invent a video game together. And that sort of plays a background role in this story. So he's sort of that guy who's good at every game, but he can't figure out how to live very well.
Yeah, he can figure out puzzles except life puzzles.
Right,
but he does actually, and he does figure out a major puzzle in this book, which I'm not going to even say, because it's so crucial to the understanding and enjoyment of this book. Involving his cousin Wayne, I might add, who died under mysterious circumstances in the UP. However, I'll say no more. But that's one of the things, the puzzle.
And I like that too, because I think really good stories have that feeling to them as well. I wouldn't call a good mystery a puzzle exactly, but I think you're touching on that same kind of pleasure.
Yeah.
And so I like a book that has a little bit of work that the audience has to do.
Yeah, the twist on this is Ben was in prison for burning down his friend's house accidentally.
No, that's actually just a real description of the story. We got some laughs over there.
And that's when he wrote these little episodes, these little vignettes or whatever that he sent to his friend, this Jeremy guy, who made it into a video game, made a fortune on it.
Right. And in the end of the book, he's sort of like the guy who made Farmville. Or, you know, those annoying little games that come through on Facebook. But there's one puzzle in the middle of the book that you don't have to solve if you don't want it for the story, but you can take some time and solve it.
Which one was that?
This is right in the middle here with the pictures.
The one?
Remember when you got to the middle of
the book
and you read
this
part?
I skipped that. I skipped that because I don't like puzzles.
Right here.
Oh, yeah, no, I skipped that.
And you were allowed to. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, so,
those are rivers, are they?
You're on the right track already, Michael.
Hence the river, the Bright River.
And that was good because I got some people to write in with their solutions and explaining how they figured out the puzzle. I didn't actually make it. There was this guy in Chicago who was named The Puzzler. He wrote for the Red Eye, and which is a weekly little newspaper, and he made the puzzle for me.
The puzzles are sort of like a red herring or a MacGuffin.
Yeah, yeah.
Hitchcock used to call him MacGuffin. The thing that absolutely nothing to do with what you need to know. that's going on. It's just there mm-hmm. to mislead you into thinking something's going to be solved.
Yeah, it. Yeah. But that one, unlike some of the other ones in the book, like I think it clearly sort of is like, you don't have to do this if you want to keep going. I wouldn't do that to you.
It's like intermission from the book. Here's a puzzle. You can, like, but the book itself was not written. And at one point he says people don't read novels anymore. They play video games or something like that, or they mm-hmm. you know they do puzzles.
I kind of think that.
What?
That people don't read novels anymore. They play video games.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
But I mean, it's unusual, isn't it, somewhat to think of novels and video games both telling stories in the same way. Is that?
Yeah, I think. Well, I think the video games are becoming more and more sophisticated, and I think that they're moving into more complicated stories, and that is going to be a change that we see. And I think at the same time, too, writers are figuring out ways to use iPad or different ways of reading to integrate kind of different pieces of media into novels as well. So I think that they're bending toward one another a little bit, all with that aim of storytelling, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. But I was thinking, when I sort of got to that, I think that this actually is a puzzle or a video game that we should be playing in the reading of, but it really is not.
I don't understand what you just said.
Okay.
But yes.
I mean, it's not that you go through and there are different levels you get through and finally you get to the end of the game or something.
Yeah, it's built a little bit like that. Yeah, okay. But at the same time, I think Ben is finding out, and this is the reason why that kind of like being good at games thing doesn't apply very well to life, that it's in the end life is just too complicated for that. The rules are always changing and the players are always changing. And so I think the book is sort of about him understanding that you can't use whatever that skill is to navigate your family and your history and your relationships in the same way.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's good. It's very good. And I'm interested in this thing now. When this whole thing came up with Janet Maslin, wrote the thing, and she got that wrong, and they had to do a correction because it's the New York Times, right?
Right. And the... So I made an email address so people could write in to solve that puzzle. And that's the only reason I made the address, and it's the main character's name at gmail.com. Ben. Yeah. And so the New York Times didn't write to me, they wrote to him. I
gives you some idea about their fact-checking at the New York Times.
Well, they didn't say Patrick, they said, Ben, dear Ben, are you the one who got hit in the head in the prologue of Patrick Somerville's novel?
And so you answered.
I did answer as though I was Ben.
Yeah.
And then we went back.
What was this guy's name, Ed or something?
Yeah, Ed Marks. Ed Culture Marks. Desk at New York Times.
Culture Desk.
Great guy. He, honestly, really,
yeah,
really
sounds
great
like
guy.
A sweet guy. Right?
Yeah. We had a long exchange, and you know, it was nice, in that he obviously had a kind of a wry sense of humor, and even though it didn't feel great what was going on, I liked that there was this nice human face to the New York Times emerging, which usually just seems. You know,
Is it true you exchanged 38 emails?
38, yeah.
38 emails with a fact checker who thought the character was a real person.
No. He never thought it was a real person.
No.
He was always joking around.
Oh, he was.
You know, it was always a little tongue-in-cheek. He wasn't confused about reality.
That's a little better
than that was.
And is there going to be something coming out, a movie coming out of this or a video game?
No.
No? Nothing?
No. Not that I know of.
You mean the review killed off every hope you had for...
It's a good thing.
I mean, that's got to be that actually.
I wouldn't have put it like that, Michael.
Yeah.
But I would say
it's a good thing.
I would say also that the book is sort of. I mean, you know, it's sort of probably doesn't lend itself well to being a movie either. There's a lot of long scenes and there's a lot of kind of interior stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, we cut most of that out.
Yeah, that's true.
Otherwise, it'd be like a 4-hour movie then. You have to get it down to at least 2, I think, to make it. You know, marketable. Then we got to worry about the leads.
Yeah,
we can work.
We can take care of it. Let's talk after.
I did like the little piece you wrote about at home. Your wife read the review to you as you buried your head in the couch.
Yeah, not the greatest feeling at the moment it comes out.
Yeah. Do you usually not read a review, or do you?
I usually read them. I do.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit suspicious when my author friends say they don't.
Yeah, I can't believe they wouldn't.
I would have. It's just the internet makes it so easy. That I mean, I would have believed that someone maybe didn't go down to the library to find the Boston Globe and read the review of themselves 30 or 40 years ago. But the internet is just—it's too easy. I think everyone ends there eventually, ends up finding them all.
But it's a good thing. It's a good thing in the end because it is a New York Times no matter what.
Yeah.
And the book is This Bright River. It is a novel, in case you're wondering. It's on there on the cover. And it
says that on the front, yes.
Yes, very good. And very accomplished novelist, Patrick Somerville. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
Nice to have you here. The pride of Green Bay, Patrick Somerville. It's on Little Brown. It's now Reagan Arthur Little Brown. Reagan Arthur joined Little Brown. I have no idea. No one tells me anything.
Cool.
Yeah. It's a good one. You'll enjoy it. Pick it up. Pick it up and read it.
Don't just use it. I mean, don't just put it on the shelf.
Right. Thank you, as always, John, for cutting to the quick. Yes. So many people just buy books to put on shelves.
They do.
I'm tired of that.
Do it all the time.
Sometimes they'll gut them out and put a transistor radio in there.
Yeah, or a, you know, a pistol or some contraband smuggled into church.
Yes, contraband.
Mm-hmm. Always got to keep your eyes open.
For contraband.
Yeah.
Yes, you do. The deer hunters put their contraband in there.
They do.
Yep.
Yeah, up in the deer stand.
Don't kid yourself. You think that's a book shelf in the tree stand? No, that's not. That's contraband. So what you got here for us? Did you ever go deer hunting, by the way? You had that, your dad gave you that over and under shotgun, didn't he?
It's just a shotgun.
It's a shotgun. You can't use that deer hunting, huh?
Typically, I don't think you use shotguns. You don't go deer hunting with shotguns, no.
Spray and just knock a bunch of raccoons out of the trees and stuff.
No, I never did. I never liked hunting.
No. It was just, didn't he take you? Because your dad was like guns.
Yeah, he liked it. We went fishing mostly, but I would tramp around the woods with him, but they would be like, you know, whoa, let's try to get that rabbit. And it's like, can't, you know. I can shoot a rabbit with a .22.
I can see trapping them. You know, I like tramping. Steel jaws or something. You know?
I like walking around the woods, but I didn't really like shooting stuff. I would rather like set up some glass bottles and blow those up.
Yeah. Okay.
That was more fun to me.
All right. Yeah. Jeff, what about you, Hunter?
No.
Deer season starting, you know, today, I think, first day.
So don't wear like a dark stocking cap with a white ball on it. If you're going to be out and about, that's probably not a good thing. But everybody in Wisconsin knows that already.
They warn ladies about wearing muffs.
Yeah.
Not that most ladies do anymore. I think it's rather old fashioned. You know, the muff. Okay, anyhow.
Well, there's a new James Bond movie out called Skyfall.
Yes, I heard about it.
And this is the theme song from
Skyfall. No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so apropos for a change. John Tulane, Jeff Hammond.
Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much. How's everybody doing? Pretty good there? Yeah. Are those Uggs? Yeah, very nice. Kind of expensive, though, aren't they?
No.
Not for you, because you didn't pay for them. They're very nice, though. I like them. I like Uggs. My daughters both have Uggs. Several pairs of Uggs. One pair of Uggs will not do, you'll find, as you grow older. Can't get by with them. Then you got to have Uggs, and then you fold them down, and they got, show, you know, the little furry lining Uggs. Uggs for every occasion, is what I think. Do you have Uggs yet?
No.
No?
No.
Yeah.
No?
I don't know. You probably would know if you had Uggs or not, right? You're wearing some really nice tennies, though. I like those. You don't call them tennies anymore, right?
No.
No, no. What would you call your shoes?
Tennis shoes.
Tennis shoes. Tennies would be too big a stretch, I guess, to come. Come smelly. Very nice. Very nice. Do you play tennis?
No.
No? What's your sport? If any. You like soccer?
I don't really play sport, but I really like football, though.
Yeah, do you play football?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you play it sometime. Very good. My daughters can throw a pass really good. I have two passers. No running backs, but two really good passers. And your name is?
Tilda.
Tilda? Nice to meet you. Okay. Nice to meet you, too. Your name was?
Molly.
Molly? Mm-hmm. Nice to meet you. Are you in the market for a biographer? Ruth Meyer. Where are you, Ruth? What comes with that? What sort of research are we talking here?
Pen and paper.
Okay, my biography all out. We'll talk. Let's talk. Okay. You'll have to practically live with me, though, to get the full story of what... Yeah, no, it might not be fun, though, either. Paul Redd from Idaho Falls is here. He asks, who brought the ostrich? Is that code for something? Where is Paul? Is that you? Oh, you're Paul?
Yeah.
Who's the guy next to you, then?
My brother, John.
That's John?
Yeah.
Are you guys both from Idaho?
Yes.
Well, what brings you here? How'd you get out?
Children.
How did you get out of Idaho?
An airplane.
I thought you can get in, but you can't get out, is what I understood about Idaho.
United Airlines.
Yes.
Really, the Commodore is up again, huh?
Surprisingly so.
And you're also there, from there?
Yes, sir.
Whereabouts? Idaho Falls? Is that what it is?
Falls. We bought tickets for your show in Pocatello.
Oh, you did? Okay.
And you canceled because it was a fire, and it only burned 50 houses and 5,000 acres. But that was...
We're a little sensitive about being in disasters. You know, the show is disaster enough, you know.
Small fire. A very small one. We had a 750,000-acre fire on one side of the state, 480,000 on the other side.
Yeah, we had shows scheduled for those, too.
Oh, I bet you did.
That was just the latest disaster we were playing.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry we couldn't do it.
Well, I am, too, because I still got those tickets.
Get your money back.
Well, yes, I did. Okay.
All right, you guys. And what are you in town for?
Well, to visit our relatives, Thanksgiving, and your show.
Well, isn't that sweet? Huh?
That calls for a
These guess. Guys are all right. The Reds, right? Reds?
Yes.
The Reds. Two D's, if you please. What do we have for the Reds for Thanksgiving? Something to go with dinner, perhaps?
How about adding enchantment to their dining experience with Domaine de Sac and Prairie Fumée Superior Wines from the Wallersheim Winery?
Yeah, for Thanksgiving there. Okay.
Fantastic. That would be wonderful.
Enchantment. Have a little enchantment.
Thank you, sir.
A little enchantment. You betcha. You betcha. It's the least I can do for letting them down so badly on that whole show there we didn't do at the time. Yeah, I know. It's the least I can do. What's your middle name? Well, there's an interesting question. Why is that even? Where is Michael? No, Mitchell Zagadro? Is that right? Where are you? Yeah. Well, what's your middle name, Mitchell? Huh? What? Tertora? Oh, that's better than mine. Elliot. I like yours better. Want to switch? Want to swap? Okay, cool. Thanks. Tertora? How do I spell my middle name now?
T-U-R-T-O-R-A.
T-U-R-T-O-R-A? How do I spell that? Elliot, any way you want. People, two L's, two T's, one L, one T. Two E's, two O's, any way you want. Yeah. They spelled it wrong in my birth certificate, and I noticed that someone went through and crossed it out, one of the L's. Or one of the T's, I can't remember which. I got to look at that again. I think I had two L's and two T's, and my dad went through it and typed the... One of the T's out. I don't remember. Thanks for bringing it up, though. Michael, what is the most valuable lesson you've learned from your experience as a father? Oh, that's from you, too. Oh, that's from the elder. The elder there, Michael. Get out of their way, or you'll be hurt. That's the only thing that I've learned, actually. You know, so get out of the way, or you will be hurt. Thanks for asking. Freddie Hernandez from California says, is WPR all public programs? Do you have private talk shows as well?
We can schedule some.
Where is he? Oh, way in back there. He would be. We can arrange private talk shows. It's going to cost you, though. Because, you know, we get the money from the public. That's why we call it that, because then they feel they have to contribute. And sleeping? I can't see him. It's cute, I think. Oh, yes, it is. Very cute, baby. I had the hat on. I couldn't tell how cute it was. I got to see Freddy Hernandez. Freddy Hernandez. Freddy Hernandez. Mr. Hernandez. How are you, sir? Let's get you stand up here and see what a Freddy Hernandez looks like. Can I get you to stand up? Yes. How are you?
Uh-oh, you're going to ask me some difficult questions?
No tougher than yours, private talk radio.
Yeah, after I wrote that, I realized that it's intuitively obvious.
Yeah.
Is this a private one?
Yeah.
Okay, never heard of you.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Never heard of me?
No.
Okay. Freddy Hernandez, I think I've heard of you. I'm not sure in what context. So where are you from in California out there?
Sacramento.
Sacramento? Yeah.
Where politicians can't seem to pass a budget.
Yeah.
So they can get overtime.
Yeah. Are you a politician yourself?
No, I try to stay in the middle.
In the middle?
Yeah, that way I can research.
And the cars have to go around you, pretty much.
I make a U-turn sometimes.
And so, yeah, private radio would be a good idea, actually. We'll come to your house, put on a show or something, a little quiz show. But it's going to cost you.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Money is no object with you?
Oh, I've heard that from my in-law.
Nice to meet you, Freddie. Thanks for being here. Thanks for joining us.
All right,
we're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz. I don't want to wake the baby, though. It's she, right? Yeah. What's her name?
Isabella.
Isabella. What a doll. And she's sleeping during the What Do You Know show, so let's try and keep it down. As we play a round of the What Do You Know quiz, of course, before we can do that, we have to know who can and cannot participate in the quiz. That's right, the four disclaimers. Here's your big break in radio. One you've been waiting for, and you are?
I'm Heather Rigg.
Hi, Heather, how are you?
I'm good. Very excited to read the disclaimers. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own show. How about a fiscal dropkick? Persons who are employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone trying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. Excellent. Oh, that was a good one. All right, let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the What Do You Know quiz. This is a chance for you to win fabulous prizes for being fabulous. And we just have to, and I'm thinking this young man here now, this is the future of our country. It's all on your shoulders. Let's see what we got here to work with. Yes, you, young fella, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm Miguel.
Miguel, where are you from?
Madison.
You're here from Madison, and are you in school now, Miguel?
Yeah.
Don't touch me. I'm not used to being touched. It was a hot feeling. What are you studying?
I'm most interested in environmental studies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you had to think about it, maybe you should be studying something else.
Well, I don't know about that.
You don't know about it?
No.
Environmental studies?
Yeah, that's...
What year are you in?
I'm a junior.
You're a junior?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Pretty quick, though. You got another year if you want to switch something else, poli-sci or economics or something like that.
No.
Miguel?
Mm-hmm.
Give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
I think I can win.
He thinks he can win. Environmental studies. Great thing to be in, right? Yeah, it's right there. You can wear those handfuls if you want. They are fashionable. Everybody's wearing them now. They're kind of raggedy, actually. I think those are the ones I threw on the floor last week.
They're pretty beaten up.
Yeah, they're pretty eaten up. That's public radio for you. If we were private, we'd have better earphones. You know, no one wears these kinds anymore.
No.
Okay, Miguel. And let's see, you're in at UW? Is that we?
No, I'm at West High School.
You're at West High
yeah.
School? Oh, you're in the high school. I thought you were at UW, environmental study.
Thank you.
Interesting. Okay, my daughters went there. You know any?
Yeah.
Know any of them? Feldman girls? Nora? There's a Nora.
Ooh, I do know Nora.
Oh, you do?
I do know Nora.
In what context?
purely a I've seen her around.
Yeah. You like that kind of music she likes? She's in the metal and electronic, you know, that dubstep. Mm-hmm. So. Is that anything that you do?
A little bit.
A little somewhat? Mm-hmm. What's your preference as far as music?
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll. Good man. Do you play?
No. Actually, I play violin. I don't play any.
You play rock and roll violin? That's pretty good.
No, classical violin.
Yeah, but you can use that in rock and roll, too, man.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
In what sense?
In the sense of playing it while rock and roll is going on. You can rock on a violin, okay. Can't you, John?
Sure.
He doesn't even like rock and roll. So you're a junior in environmental studies is what you're thinking of, and then so junior year is when you start thinking about what comes next, right?
Yeah, to some extent.
Yeah. Have you thought about it?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Environmental studies.
But I mean, are you just going to go out in the environment and study it, or are you going to, school you're thinking about? Or?
I'm thinking out of state.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Personal reasons?
Family.
Don't point. That's your family there?
Mm-hmm. Right there.
Yeah. Oh, hi. Hi, family. How are you doing? Good. Okay. Any state in particular?
Not so sure about that yet.
Yeah.
Not so sure.
I got some friends from California.
Yeah, any recommendations?
Oh, anyone? Santa Cruz would be good.
Yeah?
Yeah. UC Davis is good. UC Davis for environmental, right? Yeah. Way to go. UC Davis.
I'll check it out.
Check it out, man. Okay.
So, Miguel, before we start, what sort of prize am I going to receive?
Okay. All right. No, you're right. You're right. Let's get that out of the way.
Okay.
What sort of prize would Miguel receive, Sarah, do you think?
There could be a bug pin in his future. There could be some books.
I'd like a book.
There could be a good board book. Game.
Board game?
Mm-hmm. More than one book, in fact.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe a T-shirt.
No wine, though, because he's...
No. But they are great prizes. You do have to win them first, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Always a catch. Okay. Would you rather not go for that? Or?
I'm ready.
Okay, he's ready. Someone out there plays along with you. How come this thing is out? I have no screen on my screen. Tom, not that there's anything wrong with your production.
Is there a cord that I could pull that would make it happen? Do I just yank in any of these cords?
Which one shouldn't I yank on? Oh!
God, you sound like my mother.
I sound like your mother. What a nice thing to say. We're hitting it on. What? There's four people on hold? Not anymore. I pulled their cord. Yeah, all right. So someone out there will play along with Miguel. And how does that work?
Well, if people want to play the quiz and they're not already on hold or no longer on hold,
they're
going to dial 1-800-942-5669.
I'll give you the monitor.
That's 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WAC-NOW.
Yes.
And you're going to ask them a qualifying
question.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. It's not driving me crazy. Is it bothering you at all? You probably can't hear
kind of
that.
Annoying.
I feel like I'm on a long car trip.
Could you, Miguel, could you look over there and see if...
I'll read that number again while they try to fix the table. That number is 1-800-942-5669.
No. Is it this?
Okay, don't do that, Miguel. Leave the table alone. Let's go to the phones right now. Oh, here's the question. That's right, qualifying question. YOLO.
YOLO.
Means what? Again, that's the question. It's from our school category, YOLO. Over a certain age, you probably know what that means, but let's see on our phones here. Tony's on the line from Kansas City. Hey, Tony.
Hi. Good morning, Michael.
How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Thank you.
That's good. Got things planned for the weekend? Things coming up?
A shopping for Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. I won't be in the crowds next week.
Oh, no. Yeah. Early. Going early. That's a good idea. Yeah. Tony, you know what YOLO means?
No. Actually, I have no idea.
Okay. So you're not 16 then?
No. Okay. I was at one time, though.
Yeah, me too. I can't remember when, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I don't know that one.
Oh,
sorry. It might be a news question, maybe related to election. But that's okay.
Oh, okay. Thanks,
nice
Tony.
Nice to talk to you. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Jack's online from Belton, Missouri. Is that near you guys, Springfield, Belton?
No.
No, not anywhere near. Hey, Jack.
Hello. How are you, Michael?
Pretty good. Yourself?
I'm doing great.
That's good. That's good. You know this YOLO thing? Y-O-L-O. It seems to be an abbreviation or an acronym or something like that.
I'm trying to think, but I can't think of anything. Let's see. You or...
Very common among youth.
You or... Let's see.
You or...
Kind of like, you know, laughing my... Like, but anyway, you
laughing
or...
Laughing my orb off. You old, lazy ostrich. No, I don't think you got it, Jack. Sorry,
you
man.
Old. What's that?
Think about it for a while. Call me back.
Okay, all right.
All right, thanks, bye. Chris is on the line somewhere in the middle of Missouri. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. Yourself? What are you doing in the middle of Missouri now?
I'm driving out to my folks for the holidays.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Okay. Where do they live?
They live out in North Carolina. Got a little bit of trek ahead of me.
Yeah, are you going the right way?
I think so.
Okay. This is
I don't
nowhere.
Know if I'm not. I mean, you only live once, so I might as well go out.
You only live once? Is that what you said, Chris?
That is exactly what I said.
That's exactly right. YOLO, you only live once. Check it. Check your kids' texts. It's a rather disturbing little thing they use all the time. I'm not quite sure the...
It is. I don't understand the youth today.
Yeah. How old are you, speaking of youth?
I am 28.
28, okay. But you still, do you use that in your everyday texting?
I do not.
No, you don't. Okay.
It's been said to me. I don't know. I try to ignore it.
Yeah. Are you on the road right now?
I'm about to pull over on the road.
Oh, yeah, why don't you pull over? Because we want you to be safe. This is nothing to die for, believe me.
Oh, no. I know the quiz. There's nothing great coming of this.
Thank you. Your safety is our utmost concern here in public radio.
I am pulled over on the side of the road, so I am safe.
Okay, cool.
For the quiz.
Chris, this is Miguel.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
He is your partner in this, and he's a junior at West. It's a very good school, so he's very smart. This will be good, okay?
Well, at least somebody's smart here.
No, you sound like a smart guy, too.
Smart Alec, maybe.
Okay. YOLO. Two of you work together, and what categories do we have, Sarah?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Chris, you first.
Oh, let's go with odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Okay. He picks first one, you get the next one.
Okay.
All right with that. All right, this is Americans when asked who should play Jesus the next time Jesus is in a movie. Did they say, they said one of the following. Was it Philip Seymour...
Hoffman,
Ryan Gosling, or Denzel Washington should be the next Jesus. Talk it over, gentlemen. Chris, Miguel.
Can I get the options again?
Yes, the options are Philip Seymour Hoffman, Ryan Gosling, and Denzel Washington.
What do you think, Chris?
To portray. I think I'm going to have to go with Denzel Washington.
I think I'm going to have to agree with him.
Denzel Washington. Yes, 21% of Americans think... No one thinks Philip Seymour Hoffman should play him.
No.
Yeah. He should play anything.
Yeah. Ryan Gosling got 11%, though. That was pretty good. So that would be...
That's one right and zero wrong.
Okay. What's left there, then? Hey.
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, or science?
Science.
I think I'll take current events.
Current events right out of the news, Miguel.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll get a decorating show, as Who said recently. Rather famous individual in the news. Asked future plans, said, maybe I'll get a decorating show.
Uh-oh.
I don't have a clue.
No? Miguel?
Famous
person?
You said it was on a show, on a new show?
No, I'm saying it's a famous person who said, maybe I'll get a decorating show, as a quote. They're leaving a job that they've held for a while and asked of future plans. This person said, maybe I'll get a decorating show.
Is it Donald Trump?
That's a good answer. I love that answer, but no. Chris, any idea?
Male or female? Can you tell me that?
No. Can't
David
tell.
David Petraeus.
Can't tell from here. What?
David Petraeus.
No. Two very good answers, but I'm sorry, it was Hillary Clinton. Said. They asked what she's going to do next.
Sorry, Chris.
That's all right. Don't worry about it. That's
one right and one wrong.
Yeah, okay. What's left there?
People, places, things you should have learned in school or science.
Okay.
I'm thinking science.
Science it is. Okay. Which is the more sensitive, human fingertips or crocodile lips?
Crocodile lips?
What'd you call me?
I think I'm going to say crocodile lips.
Crocodile lips, yes. They are,
see, that's a bit.
For 2,000 pounds per square inch, they're very sensitive. Interesting.
That is two right and one wrong.
Okay. So then one
this
more.
This is playing a win.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Ooh. Okay. So what do we got left there?
People, places, things you should have learned in school.
Okay. Miguel?
Places.
Places. You play any sports or anything?
Miguel? Yeah, I play soccer.
You do? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Good soccer team they had this year, huh? Did you guys go to state, didn't you?
I was actually on high JV, not varsity.
Oh, cool. Great. But
I don't play sports.
You don't? No, I was going to ask, Chris. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to leave you out. You don't play any sports at all?
Nope, not anymore. I played high school football. But
did you?
Nothing now.
What position did you play?
I was going to ask him that.
Defensive end.
Oh, okay. Okay. I don't even know what that is.
I don't know.
Good.
I don't know what it
is. Okay.
I tackle the guy with the ball.
Okay. Tackle the guy with the ball. That's a good thing in football. All right. Okay. In the UK, the Oxford Dictionary word of the year is omni-shambles. And I would like to know, what does that mean? Omni-shambles. UK, it's British, English, whatever those guys are, call themselves anymore. Word of the year, omni-shambles. Ever hear of it?
I know, like, Chris, do you have any idea what omni means?
Omni means the prefix. All.
Yeah.
Shamble, you know,
it's so all in shambles.
English equivalent of CF.
All in shambles.
Mm-hmm.
Does that seem to be right to you, Chris?
Yeah, sounds good.
Sounds good to me. I have no idea what it means. I'm going to take your word for it. Yes, omni shambles means everything's a mess.
That's not true.
Word of the year. Congratulations. You guys have won the quiz.
Miguel, you can honor our seasonally departed six-legged friends and accessorize with style with a Yipes bug pin manufactured in high-tech polymer clay from the Joyce Fritz studio. Chris, you'll begin every day the right way with Stephen Brew Breakfast Blend and relax with the rich, smooth taste of Costa Rican Terrazzo, precision roasted in Madison by Stephen Brew Coffee. Coffee done right. And each of you can celebrate colorful diversity wearing a t-shirt displaying the rainbow cone logo of New York City's Big Gay Ice Cream and have fun of any persuasion playing What Do You Know the Party Game, including the invaluable Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to you both.
Oh, you cleaned up.
A pleasure.
Thanks, Miguel. Nice to see you. Hang on, Chris. Make sure you get that stuff. Don't go away.
Wish you could laugh with Michael every day? You can. Follow the What Do You Know fun throughout the week on our Facebook page, the new notmuch.com, or on the Twitters with @MyFeldman. Tickets are still available for What Do You Know shows in Madison on December 1st, 8th, and 15th at the Monona Terrace. And don't forget, our annual holiday party will be at the historic Music Hall on the UW campus Saturday, December 22nd. Call 608-262-2201 or go to notmuch.com for tickets to all of those great shows. What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulian on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we honor dear seasoned spouses with a hotline. Thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. and now the man who's just now putting in the winter wheat. It's Michael Feldman.
Gotta put it in. It's almost winter. I never know when to put it in. Figure in November, you should put any winter wheat in November.
I don't know much about it.
Because December, you can't, the ground's frozen, number one. Or is that number two? Anyone here putting in winter wheat? You can tell me when the best time to do that is. Okay. Someone told, I had a farmer in here one time who said, you know, well, because I don't understand why you put in winter wheat, because it, does it grow over the winter?
Well, I think they put it in more, in climates. Huh? Do they grow winter wheat here? There's more like Kansas and they
no,
do grow
winter here? Wheat, sure.
Doesn't it have to do something with soil erosion or I don't know.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. You know about winter wheat. What do you know about winter wheat?
It
doesn't require
a lot of moisture.
Moisture. Yeah. Does it require wheat? Requires wheat, but not a lot of moisture.
It grows. It grows in arid environments like Western Oregon.
But I mean, when do you put it in is the question. By now?
Yeah.
I got to get out there. Well, you know, Thanksgiving coming up, holiday time of the year again, and, you know, my kids, when they were little, could not believe that Thanksgiving didn't used to be Black Friday Eve. You know? Or that Black Friday did not begin when pilgrims and Indians decided to share a shopping experience and said, hey, let's eat first. And that was the first Thanksgiving. But as is annual, my want to do, it's this is called Dessert Errata. It's a prayer of Thanksgiving. I don't know if you want to do any music for this or not. If you feel like it. You know, it's the same old, same old. Yeah. Dessert Errata, a prayer of Thanksgiving. Go resignedly to the folks, remembering it's just for a few hours. Though you must make appearances at her side as well as your own, eat with as much relish as you can muster, for this too shall pass. Choose carefully your words, gingerly stepping around your cousin Leah's latest fiasco with the Arthur Murray instructor, and ask not about Marlene. Let on not that you have heard these stories before, and utter them not aloud simultaneously, nor anticipate the punchlines. Chew with vigor and bite thy tongue, for the bird hath been cooked since Tuesday. Yet praise it tenderly, for it never heard a compliment in life. Be sage about the dressing, though you know not the origin of the little hard things. Should you bite into a wedding band, return it with discretion. Though it resembles syrup, pour not the Manischewitz on the sherbet. Avoid your Uncle Lou. He is vexatious to the spirit. Kick not your little brother under the table, but show the forbearance of the season and pound him later. Picture Naomi and the kids as alien life forms and learn from them. Shout not at Graham, for she heareth what she chooseth. Though you take on much wine, sing not the Barber of Seville, nor show undue attention to your niece, who has become quite the young lady. If belch thou must, let it not herald the start of a contest. Mince no words over the pie, which passeth all understanding. Above all, say nothing on the ride home, even though the temptation to cite what might have happened but didn't be great. For that, give silent thanks, resolving to firm up those plans for Aruba over Christmas. Amen. Dessert Errata, a prayer of Thanksgiving. For Thanksgiving, I hope you have a wonderful one. Hope you have a wonderful one. Everyone has good food and good fun. And we don't play the Lions this year. Oh, yes, we do.
Sunday.
We play. It's supposed to play on Thanksgiving, though. Who's playing on Thanksgiving?
Who cares?
The Bears? Oh, no.
No,
unkindest cut of all.
They're not Thanksgiving.
Is there a Thanksgiving game?
Yeah,
NFL?
Sure.
Huh?
Oh. It's probably the Lions.
Very upsetting.
Lions and the Cowboys play everybody.
Yeah, there we go.
Lions and the Cowboys?
Okay,
don't confuse me. Not each other. I don't understand what you're saying. Used to be the Packers and the Lions. And you sit there and, you know, have little Manischewitz and watch that. Yes, it's time for Thanks for the Memos. It was sent in by actual listeners to prove that we have them. And here's a memo right here that I have in my hands. The subject is pigeons. To all building users, the subject pigeons, importance high. All. The pigeons are getting into the office areas from the warehouse and into the warehouse from open dock doors. Last year, we had the exterminators come out on several occasions. Year after year, we are paying to have pigeons trapped and taken away. This is an expense that we should not have, or at minimum, that is, if we all did our part. Warehouse personnel have to keep the dock doors closed when not in use, nor should we feed the pigeons. Today, a pigeon was taken from the cafe, which had to be cleaned afterwards. This is a continuous issue. The cost for the exterminators, security, and fire marshals are often summoned to remove a pigeon. Just parenthetically, would you call a fire marshal to remove a pigeon? What is the, you know, that goes on all our taxes. Okay. Who are often summoned to remove a pigeon. It is all a cost to the company, and if we all work at minimizing the casuals, we can decrease the problem. Your assistance and communication to your personnel is appreciated. Regards, facilities manager. Thank you so much for that ridiculous memo about pigeons. We don't have enough to worry about. We got to worry about pigeons flying in the warehouse. How was that our problem?
Not my problem.
That's working conditions. That's the company's problem. So where should they send the memos and just communications of any sort they might
if
have?
If people want to send memos or letters or anything.
What have you?
They can send them into whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, yeah. Subject line memos. Or go to notmuch.com and find a place to post it there. If they want to send actual objects in the mail, they can send them to 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706, care of What Do You Know? Thanks for the memos.
Yeah, so, you know, it's the start of gun season today in Wisconsin.
Deer season, right? It's not really gun
season. Well, it's the gun deer season. Well, because there's an archery one. You take a bow and arrow. I mean, you don't go out.
Oh, right. Oh, I see what you're saying.
You're not going out to shoot guns, right. Obviously. Yeah. And that's the guns are not what you come back with. Well, you come back with your guns in precious little house. But I'm saying it's a deer gun season, okay? Deer gun. No, you know what I'm saying. It's gun season.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because first they let the, then the muzzle loaders.
Right, and then bow and arrows. And yeah.
Bow and arrows, and then guys with rocks. It's rock season. It's a rock season. But large rocks and
handguns.
Kill things.
Hairdos.
It's all there. But it's, for us, of course, it's the annual Deer Widows in the Headlights season. Deer Widows. 600,000 Deer Widows estimated this year alone. Yes. Okay, you're not as excited about this idea as I am, but we have done this before, and it never works. So, of course, we're doing it again. We'd like to hear from those Deer Widows out there who have 8 days. They have an 8-day week coming up without, you know, the other... around. They can do anything they want. Sugar Shack comes to mind. But we want to know what you ladies and, you know, and also this year we'd like to pay tribute to the same-sex Deer Widows and widowers. Because it's a whole new world out there in the woods. So let's hear from you and what you're going to, from Deer Widows. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm making this clear, Sarah. I get it.
Yeah.
You do. You get
it. There are
it,
people
yeah.
left alone for a week while people go shoot
deer animals. Widows, they call them, yeah, yeah. Historically. Yeah. And I want to know what they're doing, how they're going to spend their time, what's going on. I'm sure there's a lot going on. And I'm just sort of curious as to if they're taking advantage of this, as they should be, because those guys are going out there drinking in the tomahawk tap.
That's right.
Occasionally shooting off their weapon from the porch. And then they come home, later, you know, with somebody else's sausage or something. You know, say that something, you know. And there's no way you can actually get it processed and get the sausage made, you know, in a week. So, you know, it's just something going on. That's what I'm saying. So we want to know what the Deer Widows are doing, and what number could they call to tell us what they have planned?
1-800-942-5669.
Mm-hmm.
That's also 1-800-1-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW.
Okay.
Yeah.
All those things. Ready for those phones? We want to hear from Deer Widows who are out there and they got, you know, maybe they're going to the opera.
Maybe.
You know, I mean, opera is where the nearest opera probably in Chicago. Find good opera down there.
Yeah. Stars on Ice.
Sun Prairie. I know they got some operas in Sun Prairie sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe, you know, the Sugar Shack. I don't know. Is that still open, Sugar Shack? You been there?
No, but what about Deer Widowers? Because there are ladies who hunt, right?
Yes, I said, didn't I say that?
Yeah.
Widowers, I think, said too. Yeah. I think I covered every base as far as you know, who we're talking about here.
Good.
Every gender, every description. That's our waiting for those phones to ring right now. What's the number? Give the number again.
Deer Orphans, 1-800-942-5669.
Yeah.
Or 1-800-WA-NO. Or 1-800-WHACK-NOW.
Okay, we're looking for dear widows, widowers, who are have all this time on their hands now, and he's off, and he's doing his thing, and I want to know what your thing is. And oh, here's Lynn from Murfreesboro, Illinois, and let's see what she's got. Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
How are
you?
I'm pretty good. Yourself?
Not, can't complain. I'm a dear widow.
Yeah, yeah. So are you? How you feeling? Pretty good.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I was supposed to go sit in the deer stand this weekend. Oh, I have a tag.
Well, you have a tag?
Yes, but my brother came from Chicago instead, so yeah. I decided to spend this weekend with him.
Yeah. Do you usually do that, go out there in the deer stand? I mean, how much fun is that? That's got to be a lot of fun.
Oh, it's great. I teach fourth graders.
Oh, okay.
So to sit in the woods where it's quiet is wonderful.
Yeah. Okay. What are you going to do now that you're not in the stand and you're back at home and you got a few things planned, a little variety?
Well, I'm waiting on him to get back with the final cost of having his 10-point mounted that he got yesterday evening.
Oh, wow.
You're kidding. You got one already?
Oh, yeah.
And how many points?
Good.
How many points was that?
10.
That's a big rack.
It's a big deer.
Yeah. Holy cow. I mean, yeah. And then do they hang it up on the garage then? You gotta, what do you do with that?
From
the basketball hoop?
Oh, no, that head's going in the house. Are you kidding? As much money as that's going to cost, it's going in the house with the other two.
The other two?
Yeah, I have dead animals hanging in my living room.
I mean, are they processed or something? I mean, they're not just...
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, we don't do that. Yeah, we process it. We eat a lot of deer meat. It's good for you.
I would imagine, yeah. I mean, do you actually like it?
High protein, low fat. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Do you like it, or you just have to, because it's there?
Oh, no. I like it.
Oh, you do?
I like it. Uh-huh. Well,
so he's a pretty good hunter, your husband.
Oh, yeah. He's already went bow during bow season and got a small buck.
Yeah.
It was six. And then he went with shotgun yesterday and got the 10-pointer.
Is he going back with rocks and knives next week?
Oh, heck no. Next week is going to... No, there's a 12-pointer. He's still looking for it. It passes through on non-deer season.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's looking for the big one now.
Is he up by us? Is he up by us, or is he in Illinois somewhere?
Oh, he's in Illinois.
Oh, okay.
It's up... I don't know if you know where Vandalia is?
No.
Decatur,
I know.
Springfield? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's up in the northwest section. It's a little bitty bump in the road place called Oconee. It's named after Indians that live there.
Oh, no kidding.
And
that's interesting.
We've got a farm there, and that's where he hunts.
Oh, okay. A lot of those are our deers, though, by the way. They just get, all these guys come up from Chicago, ironically, and chase them all back. They all flee back down to Illinois, the deer do. So.
No, all the Chicago hunters come down here. I'm in the southern part of Illinois right now. I'm calling you from the southern end.
Oh, are you?
Yes. I don't know if you know Carbondale, SIU.
Sure. Yeah, we've been down there. We're Saluki dogs at heart. Yeah.
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 That's where I'm at. I'm about 7 miles from them. So. Oh. Yeah, all the Chicago, Peoria, Rockford, all those people come down here.
Yeah, not all of them.
And all our people go up north and hunt, so we figure it out.
Yeah, no, we get a lot of you guys up here. All right, well,
I know.
Thanks, Lynn.
Okay, have a good day.
Very informative. Yeah, bye. Nice talking.
Bye.
That was interesting. Okay. She'd like to be here, or there. Barbara's near Stevens Point. Hey, Barbara.
Hello.
How are you?
I am great.
Are you a deer widow?
I am a deer widow. I am a deer widow every year, and not just for 10 days, but for most of the fall, because as we've been talking about, the bow season starts in September, and then we've got this week of rifle, and then black powder starts after that.
Oh, so black powder,
I get lots of time off.
You do? So what do you do with that is what I'm curious about.
Well, the most fun thing is on the first night of gun season, one of my friends has a breast cancer fundraiser, Cook for the Cure, and that's tonight. So we all go to her house, and she gets all the ingredients for gourmet meals and lots of wine and lots of pink things, and we raise money for Cullen Foundation.
And is that at the Sugar Shack?
I guess you could say that. There's lots of lots of sugar.
Is that the cover for what you're doing there, and you're actually going to the Sugar Shack and watching male dancers?
Well, no.
No. Does that ever occur during these long weeks?
I understand for some women it does, yes. Yeah. I understand there's a lot of that goes on in the state of Wisconsin, but I have never been one of the people who partook of that.
No, okay. All right. I'm just wondering. I'm not making accusations. I'm just kind of curious. As to, I think it would be fair, fair to do.
I understand that there are many women who agree with you.
Okay. Thanks, Barbara.
You're welcome.
All right, nice talking with you. Melissa is in Moore, Oklahoma.
Hi.
Hey, Melissa, is it gun season now in Oklahoma and Moore?
Well, more importantly, it's just time to keep rolling with the punches. You know, it's a cultural life experience, and you know, I have to get my kicks on. You know, they're gone.
Yeah.
And what they're doing, I don't know. But as long as he brings back some of that good dark meat.
Yeah.
I'm excited. So that's how and. Southern Oklahoma over here, we kind of work it out.
Yeah. And what do you do to kind of, you know, to sit there and because you're lonely, I'm sure, and a person thinks,
this is just part of all the hard work. You know, I've been country and I've been city, and I respect so much that momentum. You know, I mean, we're always busy doing something, and so it's just part of the life.
Yeah.
And it's so different, but it's very enjoyable. And I still get the same kicks as anybody else that he's gone, and I can do whatever I want.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get at here, Melissa. I mean, you know, what sort of things do you do? I mean, do you get together with the other dear widows and, you know?
No, I stay busy with my studies, and nobody bugs me if I don't eat for 2 days.
Yeah.
I don't have to cook or worry what's on there. So they self-sustain. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Self-sustenance. It's, something to be seen.
And then when the deer meat comes back, do you have to grind it and make the sausage yourself or what?
I kick in the female skills. Yes, I do cook, and I think food's wonderful, and we love to prepare. That's another great part of life is all of the you know, we take part in raising our cattle and chickens and stuff. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Tasty life.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, Melissa. Thank you very much for calling in.
Thanks. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah. You too. Nice talking with you. And then Diane is in Bryant, Arkansas. Hey, Diane.
Hi. Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Oh, doing okay. I'm very excited to be on your show.
Yeah. Well, nice to have you. Are you enjoying your freedom here?
I love it. This is my favorite time of year. He disappears. I've got the remote. It's just wonderful.
That's it? You just have the remote, and that's enough.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, isn't that so? What do you watch? Housewives and all that?
Just anything. Movies. I like all the dancing shows. Sister Wives starts tomorrow night. Big fan of that.
Which one?
Sister Wives.
Sister Wives?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a reality show?
It is. It's about
I gotta watch that.
A man who's married to, I think, 3 or 4 different women and just follows them around. It's fun. It's a fun show.
I guess they waited until after the election before they ran that one, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's good. So you're watching Sister Wives, and you have friends over, maybe, or you go out at all, maybe?
I've got 3 kids, and I honestly just kind of like the peace of it. It's so quiet. It's nice at home. There's no chaos. There's no crazy. There's just quiet.
And you mean to tell me that if he were home with you now, he would not be sitting down in front of Sister Wives with you?
No, I have to say he would not be.
Yeah. What does he generally watch?
Sports. Anything sports.
Sports.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's watching a big UFC thing tonight. Their deer camp is so spoiled.
Yeah.
They have, you know, flat screen TVs and whatnot. They don't, they're not out there roughing it.
No. And then he buys a deer off someone, brings it home, and that's the...
Exactly, yeah.
Pretty much how it goes.
Yeah.
All right. Very cool. Thanks, Diane.
All right. Thank you.
Have a happy Thanksgiving. And Linda is on the highway. Linda, are you on the highway in Missouri?
I am on 71.
We had a lot of people on highways in Missouri. Are you in the same car as the gentleman who called earlier from the highway?
No, I'm not.
He was going to North Carolina, I think, so I don't know what direction he was pointed. Yeah. And where are you headed?
Kansas City.
Kansas City?
Yes.
Yeah. And is this part of your great dear widow getaway?
Yeah, I'm actually not widowing right now.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a place to hunt, but I do definitely have stories from our past.
Yeah, let's hear one of those.
Well,
let's hear the best one.
My habit when he gets ready of a morning, he would put on his aftershave. Well, this Friday morning, the guys are picking him up to go to deer camp. And so he had put that on just by routine habit. And then he realized that that wasn't going to go over too well when he got in the pickup truck with the guys because they all wanted to smell like deer pee.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's part of the deal.
Right.
So anyway, he buys all these supplies, all this food, all these particular clothing things he has to wear and all of this stuff. And he piles into the truck, and he pulls out of the driveway with his buddies, and I look down, and he's left his deer rifle. So I start running down the street after the truck with the deer rifle.
And the neighbors, like that.
Says, what have you done? She's going to shoot the
So you're running him after with the deer rifle, waving it, and the neighbors are at the windows, of course, and thinking.
And so, of course, they open up, they pull down the window, and they stop, and I said, this is, how are you going hunting? All right, what are you hunting for? You put on aftershave, and you left your deer rifle.
Yeah. Maybe he wasn't, maybe his heart wasn't in it.
I don't know, but he did get his rifle back. And one time I came home after he'd been on a deer trip, and I pull into the driveway, and I see this little small, I thought it was our dog, actually, this very small creature hanging, because they, after they dress the deer, it's tied up to a tree and drains and all that. And I thought our dog, I'm like, oh, my God, what's he done? And he got the smallest deer, but he was somewhere else.
Oh, it wasn't a dog, was it? Tell me it wasn't a dog.
It wasn't a dog.
In retrospect.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
But in essence of hunting,
yeah,
that's kind of what happens sometimes.
Yeah, so he got like a 0 point buck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A butt buck, I think it was called, but it was just tiny.
Okay, so you got the story. And yourself, have you ever just gone off on a spree? Because you hear about these stories about that.
Yeah. Because, you know, in the younger day, all the girlfriends got together, so we try to figure out where can we go, have fun, be safe, don't get hit on.
Yeah.
So we go to a country western bar, which is not something we normally would do, because we figured we can all blind dance. We can all dance together.
Line dance, yeah.
That's right. You don't have to dance with a guy. So we're all line dancing and doing our thing. The cowboys are all kind of lined up, and they all were commenting to each other and stuff. And so we walk by, one of us is going to the restroom, and the guys are actually talking about the deer widows are in town. They all can tell. Because when the hunters go away, the guys start collecting at the bar just because the deer widows are coming to the bars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so they had their own thing.
Yeah, so they're hunting their own thing.
Yeah, exactly. So as we got a bit older, we decided that we weren't going to that route anymore. So one of my best girlfriends and I decided we would go to a gay bar.
Gay bar?
We go to a gay bar. Much easier situation. Great music. A great, fun atmosphere. Oh. Certainly aren't going to get hit on there.
No.
We were wrong.
Wrong?
Well, we were dancing with a bunch of nice, friendly gay guys. And of course, you don't really have to dance to a disco-ish type thing. But
no.
That day, see. And then the gals are hitting on us one after another.
Oh, yeah.
So my girlfriend goes up to get us a beer and this other gal sitting on her, and she turns around and goes, I'm a turp. So all of a sudden, we have to try to blend in. It was quite interesting evening.
Yeah.
So I've had probably more deer stories when he's gone to camp than he has.
I would imagine, and better ones. It sounds like a little more success probably than he's had in some of his hunts. Thanks, Linda. That was worth pulling over for. That's what I'm talking about, more of those kinds of things. Thank you from the highway of Missouri. Thanks, Linda. Bye. Very nice. Well, I think that'll cap off. I don't know who's going to top some of those stories.
Pretty good.
Yeah, very good. So there we have another year annual Deer Widows in the Headlights. And that's it for this year. Okay. Okay. That's all right. You don't have to. Okay. What?
Nothing.
All right there.
I got lots to say.
You do? Go ahead.
Well, if you're out and about in Chicago tonight, you could stop by Andy's Jazz Club and see Jeff with Brian Lynch Quartet.
He's going to sleep right through it, I think.
He's probably going to sleep. No, he'll nap. He'll nap. Yeah. It doesn't start until later. So.
Yeah.
And this next song, well, we're keeping in the theme of James Bond, but you were talking about YOLO. This is YOLT.
But, you know, just to back up a little bit, theme song.
Yeah, Skyfall.
Yeah, who wrote that?
Do you know? Nice. Well, Adele co-wrote it with...
Oh, she did?
Yeah. Paul Epworth and Adele Atkins.
Oh, cool, cool. So she sings. She sings it.
She sings it and wrote
She's
it.
She's the Bond theme.
I'm sure
singer.
She gets the royalty money from it.
Yeah, very nice song. Yeah. And this one is what then?
Yolt. It's not "You Only Live Once." It's "You Only Live Twice."
Twice. All right. John.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Now, how do you... So for those of you at home who don't know this, Sarah does this gesture thing as she speaks, which is very lovely.
Thank
because you.
You
are a dancer.
Oh, I was once.
Well, you're always a dancer, right? It's like the mafia.
Yeah, that's true. Once you've been made,
but
you can't
But how do you decide which gesture goes with, like, I get a...
It's totally subconscious.
Is there like
but I
a
tell you, if I keep my hands still when I'm talking, I can't do it.
You don't, really?
I can't do it.
So if I were just like to grab your wrist, you cannot say a word?
Something like that.
Well, we're not going to test that. Okay, I'm in the audience. And
great audience.
Yes, Patrick Somerville's dad, right?
Yes. Well,
admit it?
I used to be a neurologist, but now I'm known as Patrick Somerville's dad.
Well, you can't use that neurologist thing all you know, your life.
I'm pushing his books all the time. It's a heavy load.
Are you an author follower? You know, like pushing him on stage and for his readings and stuff. And you open the books when they sign them.
He didn't want to be an author, but I forced him to go into this field.
Yeah. How does one do that with a child? Force him to become an author, for example.
Money.
Bribes.
Yeah, he's still taking them, and he's happy.
You write yourself? Is that where it came from?
I have about 14 diaries that I've started, I get about 8 pages in, and it gets boring, so I just get another book to write in.
Yeah. Did you ever hear about that guy who recorded everything he did in his life? I don't know how he did anything, because he'd run over and have to write it down. I mean, but everything, even his bowel movements, everything... In a diary, correct. Every movie made.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. It would seem that there is not much of a life.
Well, he certainly thought about his life.
What could he do? He had to be writing every second. So his experience...
That's not like your diaries, though.
No, mine are brief blasts of lousy prose.
Did Janet Maslin ever review one of your diaries?
I have hired someone to deal with her.
You take it personally if your son gets a review that's maybe not so favorable as it could be?
It hurts a lot. Yeah, that one was an arrow in the chest.
Maybe someday you'll be her neurologist.
I doubt it. I'm retired and... It costs way too much to start up again.
Yeah. And your name is?
Steve.
Very nice to meet you.
Meet you, Michael.
Thank you for joining us. Dr. Steve. Still a doctor, right?
Yeah.
They didn't take that away, did they?
They can't. I'm not doing anything.
All right. It was your dad who was an architect?
Yeah.
He was?
Tell him.
My dad... John designed Lambeau Field.
He's the architect who designed Lambeau Field. Which is, I think, the best-looking football stadium anywhere. It's uniquely.
It's been, quote, upgraded, unquote, but the original one costs $1 million, and the upgrade costs $288 million. So we're paying an extra 0.5% sales tax in surrounding counties to support Madison Packer fans.
Okay, well, I didn't want to get into that so much, but your dad was quite amazing. Yeah, amazing. Well, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming. How do I fix my interferometer? You got some interference with your interferometer? Where is Aaron? Red. With the reds, yeah.
Yes.
Your interferometer. Wait a second, I guess I got it. Why don't you come down this way and I'll meet you, because it's going to get technical, I feel. And it's does it need to be adjusted? Is it out of whack?
Out of whack. That's a good description. Yes. Okay. So it's a measurement. It's a measurement of the speed of light in a material, and it's just. I work at the university, and we're just having some problems making it work.
Are they a little delicate?
They can be. Yes. Yeah. Very much so. So anyway, just.
You ever pound on them with your fist? Does that usually works for me and my delicate instruments?
Well, I can't say I've never tried that, but I can say it's not terribly effective at fixing it.
Interferometer?
Interferometer.
And is this your own personal one, or is this the university's or something?
No, the university's, yes. So.
Is it a large device?
It's about a tabletop.
Does it have legs and everything?
It does not, but
it's... What's it doing? What's the problem? Let's see if we can work this out.
Oh, it has a lot of electrical noise that's showing up in the...
I got that on my desk up here. Speaking of tabletops. If we could solve this, I think we could easily fix your interferometer.
Easily, that's right, exactly. So
something is hanging underneath it or something, and it shakes.
Yes, but
anything?
Probably something similar. I'm just trying to figure out exactly how to get the problem out of it. It's been on my mind, and so anyway, when people were saying I should write a question, my brain vapor locked, and that's the only thing I could come up with.
Has anyone here worked on interferometers, or know anything about them, or had one time? Yeah, okay, no, okay. Well, maybe someone will call in with some help.
Maybe so. I look forward to that.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.
Okay. Interferometer people, we know you're out there. I'm going to say that public radio probably has more interferometer people listening than any other medium. So someone out there probably knows what to do with a tricky interferometer. Look at this. A guy from Columbus, Ohio says, how badly will the Badgers beat the Buckeyes today? How about that? Michael Halliday. And he's from Columbus. So where is Michael? That's very giving of you. That's very nice of you. Wait a second, and we'll get your explanation. I'm back in the... I got to interrupt the family here, and Isabella is trying to sleep. Why don't you come down here so I don't disturb Isabella? No, come here. Come here. Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't mean to sit down again. How are you?
Hi, fine. Thank you.
And you're from Columbus, Ohio, so you are a Buckeye by birth.
By birth, yes. Only.
Not inclination.
No. My father was born in Canada and lived in Michigan, so I've been a Michigan fan all my life, and that's a well-kept secret in Columbus, too. Yeah. So hopefully none of my friends are listening, or they'll have the rope out when I get back.
Okay. I wouldn't mention Michigan too often around here, but, you know, the thing here about the...
I'm rooting for the Badgers today. Yeah, no, hands down. Yep.
Just wanted to get that on record. Michael Halliday from Columbus, Ohio, says Badgers over Buckeyes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
See? Just trying to be impartial in this whole thing. You know me. It's from Columbus. You should know. After the show, I have to go a little late to a middle school bake sale, baking session at a church. My phone is dead. If I charge it at church, is that stealing?
No. You're doing Lisa, the Lord's work.
Lisa, you worry too much. Where's Lisa? That's very sweet, Lisa, that you would even worry about that. Let me see if I can reassure you. Or not. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is stealing. Yeah. This is all true. Your phone is dead.
It's dead, so that was not my phone ringing earlier.
No. Yeah, you have to go to the bake sale. You're working the bake sale.
Yes.
It's a big bake sale?
No.
Small bake sale?
Yes.
And it's, where is it?
I go to Madison Christian Community, which is two churches in one building, so I could be stealing from two churches technically.
Okay. And did you bake something for the bake sale too as well?
I brought supplies, and I'm going to go help them do that when I get there a little late.
So you're volunteering, you're doing all this stuff, and you're a very big part of it and stuff. And do you really feel bad if you actually charged your phone? Do you feel it would be?
Maybe.
Is it a moral dilemma?
I don't know. Maybe. It could be.
She's telling me the truth?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, I wish I could help you with this in terms of, I'm not really good with moral dilemmas. I mean, I have them, but I don't really think too hard about them.
Okay.
Are you perhaps making too much of, I mean, of it?
I don't know. It's a small phone, so it's not a smartphone. So it's smarter than me, though.
Okay.
It won't take too long to charge, so we'll maybe it will all balance out, we hope.
We have some outlets up here.
What?
Yeah,
you can charge it here. It's just public radio that they pay for it.
No, that's an even bigger moral dilemma than I think.
Another moral dilemma. Oh, boy. Do you have, like, a lot of moral dilemmas? I'm just curious.
Yes, I do.
You shouldn't, though. You're such an obviously nice person, good person.
Oh, wow. Thank you for saying that.
I would like, as a Jew... Okay, well, that's good. See, there's a real problem. That's a problem you got. No. He's a very nice guy. He's got the interferometer, though.
Yes.
I'm worried about that.
I stay away from the interferometer stuff.
Okay. But as a Jewish person, a Judeo-Christian moral background...
We've got that covered.
I would like to grant you dispensation.
Thank you.
My dear, bless you. Bless you. You're fine. For all you do. All right. I don't usually pull that one out of the fire too often, but sometimes you got to. Panic on Twinkies? Anyone go out and buy Twinkies? Yeah, did you panic? Did you really? Look at this. They went out and bought Twinkies because the Hostess is going down, which is unbelievable. But you know what was funny? All right, so Hostess is going to stop making all their products, their fine products, over these years. And I was looking on Twitter, and the only thing that was trending were ding-dongs. Isn't that odd?
No ho-hos? Be careful.
No. What?
Be careful what website you go on with that.
No, this was just on Twitter, and they show you what, you know, I understand that problem, too. That's another moral dilemma. Boy, I got one for you there. What about buying ding-dongs? Well, it won't be a problem soon, I guess. Can I get you to stand up there, sir? And I have to sort of walk sideways here. It's not my normal thing. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Did you rush out and buy Twinkie?
I didn't exactly rush out. I was reminded by my wife that Hostess was no longer going to make these. So I thought, boy, maybe I should do it because the end of the world is coming up. I was talking about that with someone at work, and I thought, it's the end of the world, December 21st. We should probably incorporate
From the Mayan thing?
Yes, yes. We should incorporate.
And no Twinkies? Oh, my God. Maybe that's like the seventh seal of the apocalypse. Is when you can't find a Twinkie for love or money, that's the end of everything.
And so the grocery store actually had them on sale, and I thought they really blew it because for people like me, I would have paid full price, just for the novelty. But, you know, they didn't have any real Twinkies left. They had these kind of fake chocolate-filled Twinkies.
We don't like any variations, no.
Everything else was sold out, and they certainly didn't have any ding-dongs. Yeah. No.
Okay, I'll let that pass. There. It's passed. Okay. Is it just Twinkies for you, or is it ding-dongs? Is it ho-hos? Is it cupcakes with the squiggle on them? It was always my favorite with the...
Well, I gave them up a long time ago, but I thought maybe I should revisit that.
How many did you get?
3 boxes.
And these kind of don't even like this kind. They will last for 1,000 years, though. So in case the world does survive, you will have
it. My wife suggested I should put them in the freezer. I said, why would I do that? They'll last forever, right?
And your name is?
Paul. Mike.
Paul. Hi, Paul. All right, we're going to try another round of the What Do You Know quiz, because that's what we do, and I got to walk sideways. Same distance either way, I guess. How are you? Doing good?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
How are you? She's a little shy. How are you?
I'm great.
Good to see you.
She wrote that question.
What question was it? Oh, was you about the Twinkies?
I did the same type of question about panicking about the Twinkies.
Yeah. Did you go out and buy Twinkies?
No, I wasn't panicking. My daughter was, but
yeah.
I'm more of a Little Debbie girl myself.
Debbie! Thank God Little Debbie's still with us, isn't she? Yeah. I used to see Little Debbie trucks all the time, but I don't see them anymore. I kind of miss Little Debbie. All right, here's another chance for you to play the quiz because you didn't get a chance the first time and your hand was up almost immediately. I know it's important to you. I can't pass that up. Oh. Hi.
Hi.
And you are?
I'm Amanda.
You're Amanda. How are you?
Good, thank you, Michael.
Michael.
Michael, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. And Amanda, Give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
I'll give you two. Okay, give me two. I'm a dear widower. And you didn't answer my question card.
I didn't?
You didn't answer my question card.
What was it?
How can you help me to bring my brother, Joseph Lawton, to Madison for medical school?
Oh. All right, I still won't answer that, but I'll let you play the quiz. How's that? Fair. Amanda! Is your daughter here?
That is my daughter, Molly.
Yes. Hi, Molly.
And she hopes her cousins, Bella and James, come to Madison, too.
Excellent. All right. Amanda, so what are you doing these days, Amanda?
I am looking for work.
You are? What are you looking for?
I'm a child and family therapist.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Well, you just got to find a child or a family, don't you? And
you'd think it'd be easy.
Give them the old what for.
I know.
Yeah.
But it's sort of hard to find a job in this market, even for therapists, when everybody's struggling.
Well, can you hang out a shingle and just say child and family therapy?
I could hang out a shingle, yes.
Yes. I'd go with the shingle.
First, you got to raise the money to rent the place.
Well, shingle should cost you $10, $12.
That's true.
You got to have it engraved or painted or something like that. That'll be another $20 or something. I'd say you could have a shingle for $35.
You know, I'll think about that.
Yeah, very good. And then, and I got a neurologist, if you want to work with a neurologist, because he's not doing much, you know, he's pushing his kids' books and all that, but, so you could have a neurologist and family, you could have a little clinic thing going on there.
Oh, it'd be perfect.
Perfect.
Solve all our problems.
That was easy. Any moral dilemmas you got? Any charging at the church? Or?
Nope.
Nothing? That's cool.
No.
And are we from here, or are we from elsewhere?
I'm originally from Green Bay. I grew up in Patrick Somerville.
Oh, you did? Yeah. I like that. Was he like that then, too?
He's always been brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, funny guy.
You weren't the model for Lauren in the book, were you?
I don't think so.
Because did you go to school with him?
No, we went to different schools.
Did you do a science project in school with him by chance?
No, but his father and my father were best friends growing up.
How do you like that? Well, that's very cool. All right, Amanda, you know someone out there calls in, plays along with you on the quiz. You know how this works, pretty much?
Yep.
General knowledge, nothing too extreme. And Sarah, what are those categories?
The categories, or do we want the numbers?
What is the number of the categories?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are the numbers on those categories, Sarah?
You've confused me now.
Yes.
If people want to play the quiz.
What is your number, Sarah? Is it
no. 1-800-WA-NO is my number.
I notice you're clenching your gesturing hand now.
Yeah.
Let's start at the beginning. What number do they call when I ask
if
this question?
People would like to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and not dial my number. They're going to dial 1-800-9.
But if they were to dial your number, what would it be? So?
It's unlisted.
Okay.
1-800-942-5669 or 1-800-WA-NO, 1-800-WACK-NOW.
All right. Well, here's the question anyhow. The percentage of stars... Okay, this is a little hard to phrase. The percentage of stars that will ever be that have already been born as of now. A percentage it is. Within what percentage would you say?
Can we give them a wide margin? Let's say within 10%.
Okay, that's fine with me. So this is percentage of stars that will ever be... Star production has slowed down way a lot, okay? Very few stars. Lots earlier, like 12 billion years ago, lots of star production. Now, not so much. So I want to know the percentage of stars that will ever, in existence, ever be created, what percentage have already been created?
Okay?
Ballpark figure. Let's go to the phones right now. Matthew's on the line from Stevens City, Virginia. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, Michael. How you doing?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Oh, pretty good. I'm excited that you called. Big fan of you.
Do we call you?
Yes, sir. Yes,
oh,
sir.
We did. Okay. Do we pick you randomly? I don't know. Or.
So the question is about the stars.
The stars. How many have already been, of the percentage that will ever be created, how many have already been?
Wow. That's pretty tough.
Nah, it's easy.
Stars.
Piece of cake.
20%?
Oh, so you think that we have 80% more to go in star production?
Oh, yeah, that don't make sense.
No, that don't make sense.
No, that don't make sense.
No.
I'll go the opposite, 80% then.
What?
Don't have much time left.
Okay. 85? 85%. It's close enough. Within 95%. Wow. So you're within a 10% margin allotted by law.
Cool.
All right, that's cool. Really cool. Yeah. So 95% actually have already been created. So that's kind of disappointing for people who like to watch stars being created. And for the stars themselves, perhaps. Matthew, Amanda?
Hi, Matthew.
Yes, sir. Hi, how you doing?
Amanda, good. Matthew. The two of you are a team right now. You know how this works, Matthew?
Oh, yes. I listen to your show every week.
Okay, then you don't know how it works, really. You know how it works, and you still listen. The two of you are a
yes,
team.
Sir.
Collaboration.
All right, Matthew, here we go.
And those categories are?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science or odds and ends.
All right, Matthew, what would you like?
Let's try science.
Science it is. In order to be fed, the fairy wren babies need to do one of the following. In order to be fed, the fairy wren baby needs to, one, do they need a password? B, a resemblance to one of the parents? Or see a new take on the family song.
Hmm.
What do they need?
Interesting. Interesting. I am a science teacher.
Oh, okay. There you should know this then.
Well, what's your guess?
I would say that the second one seems interesting because they would have to, the mother and father would have to recognize the baby.
Uh huh.
B sounds good to me.
Uh-huh. I think I agree.
No, I'm sorry. They need a password. Believe it or not, they are taught a little jingle. That is their password for the feeding. Yeah, it's kind of cute, but I'm sorry, you're wrong.
Sorry, Matthew.
Yeah, but it was for a cute question. Yeah.
That's a zero right and one wrong.
Okay, don't worry about that.
And the categories that are left are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, or odds and ends.
Amanda?
We'll do odds and ends.
Odds and ends, okay. Did the Belly Button Biodiversity Project find that there was, in fact, biodiversity in the belly button? Actually was this. I forget where it was, but I hope it wasn't at Wisconsin. I'm hoping it wasn't. Looking for bacteria.
I guess they're trying to figure out what innie or outies.
Yeah, no, bacteria biodiversity in the belly button.
Somebody funded the study?
Somebody did, yeah. You can't, you should put them on what you're doing, much more important. The Belly Button Biodiversity Project. Was there, in fact, biodiversity in the belly button?
Oh, I would have to say there is an awful lot of lint in those belly buttons.
No, we're talking about bacteria now.
Yeah, I think a lot of stuff can grow in belly buttons. And you got to ask yourself, why would they ask this question if it was no? So
they,
I would say
they
yes.
Is me, you know that.
So meaning?
Look at me and say
that. So it's 50-50, Matthew.
So you're saying yes or no?
I would say no. Not a lot of biodiversity.
Says no. He's in science.
He's a scientist. We'll go with it.
No is yes. Yeah, not a lot.
Way to go, Matthew.
There wasn't a lot. It was a waste of time. They found, I'll tell you what they found. They found 2,300 species that could be there, but only 8 that actually were. So that's not biodiversity
cool.
In my book.
Interesting.
That's one right and one wrong.
Okay, what's left?
And the categories rather that are left are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school.
Okay, Matthew.
Does my partner have a preference?
Nope. Go ahead.
All of a sudden, she's your partner.
Current events.
Current events. Okay. Texting overall in the United States trending up or down? Total amount of texts.
I thought I read something in the paper about that. I think because of the promotion of this, I think it's gone down.
Yeah.
Drunk driving, yes.
Because of the promotion of
people. You know, the advertisement, it's dangerous, drinking and driving's not good. I think so.
Drinking and texting is not good.
So recently the trend is going down because of
really not good.
Cutting down on texting while driving.
So you're saying going down, trending down.
Boy, I'd have to consider how many states have that law.
Well, not just that necessarily.
All those people who are moral and...
No, not necessarily.
Boy, it's hard to think that texting is going down, but Matthew, you are 2-for-2 here, so I'll go with Matthew's.
Yes, texting has declined in the third quarter. Down from 696 per capita to 678. So it's not a big decline, but it's significant. It's significant. Texting.
That's two right and one wrong.
Very good.
And the categories that are left are people, places, things you should have learned in school.
Okay, then. Amanda?
Things you should have learned in school.
This could be it here. Is dank good or bad?
Isn't that in the eye of the beholder?
Well, no, this is in the eye of the kid who says it to you. You know,
that's dank. Then I'm guessing it's good.
Comes and says, you know, that was really dank.
Ooh.
I don't know if it's good or bad. I'm hoping you do.
Kids?
Talk it over, Matthew. Dank.
I'm going to say good.
You mean, can you spell that, please?
Yeah, D-ank. D-ank.
D-ank?
D-ank.
Dank. I haven't heard that in a hall. I think.
Matthew, I got
to. Well, maybe you wouldn't, Matthew. That could be either way.
Yeah. I've been wrong on all the other questions, but I think I'm going to be right on this one, and it's a good thing.
Dank is good. Matthew?
I go with her.
Yes, dank is a good thing. I don't know why it would be. But when something is dank, it's really happening. Okay, congratulations. You pulled it off. What have they won?
There you go, Matthew.
Amanda, you've won a bag of What Do You Novo Roast, our show's signature coffee blend from Herb and the Boys at Denver's famed Novo Coffee. Sustainably sourced, family-owned, exemplary coffee. Then enjoy the musical majesty that has entertained since Emperor Maximilian I with a pair of tickets to the Vienna Boys Choir from St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Middleton, Wisconsin. Matthew, your coin collection will really shine with the rare and beautiful Silver Jubilee Anniversary Quarter, celebrating 25 years of matchless radio comedy from the founding father of Small Talk Radio. And both of you can lighten the mood with Paula Sisk's Rhyme from the Field and Farm, A Little Laughing Will Do You No Harm from Tate Publishing and Enterprises, and keep the good times going playing What Do You Know the Party Game from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you. Good job, Matthew.
Thanks, Amanda. Good job, Matthew. Hang on, make sure you get that stuff.
Tickets are still available for What Do You Know shows in Madison on December 1st, 8th, and 15th at the Monona Terrace. And don't forget our annual holiday party will be at Historic Music Hall
on
the UW campus.
Bring a dish.
Yeah. Saturday, December 22nd. Call 608-262-2201 or go to notmuch.com for tickets to all of these great shows. What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer, International. Adam Friedrich, producer, with the assistance of Michelle Good, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Technical director, Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Kohlberg.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you all for coming. Thank you, boys in the band.
PRI, Public Radio International.